What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passage of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, an extension of the YouTube channel Dead Meat. I'm James.
I'm Chelsea, and we're a boyfriend and girlfriend, and we like to get scared together.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah. Right on time, too, because according to my phone, it's time to keep our appointment with the Wicker Man.
Oh, man.
But,
Oh, man.
Not the good Wicker Man.
Nope.
Much to our detriment, I think. No, we're talking about the fucking 2006 one, which I kind of regret a little bit picking.
Yeah.
I so want to just talk about the original right now.
Oh.
Because I watched both of them back to back yesterday.
I did not watch the original.
I wish you did. I know you were busy.
I was busy.
But it's so good. I admittedly hadn't seen it. I wanted to get the full Wicker Man experience. So I watched the original first. I fucking love it. You have to have some balls to try and remake that movie because it's basically perfect. It's still scary, I think. I was genuinely disturbed by it, especially the ending. The music in it is beautiful. Everything, like, it looks beautiful. The performances are amazing. The performances are amazing.
That must be nice.
It's, yeah, it was such a luxury. Compared to...
Guys, I fucking hate this movie, Wicker Man.
You can't be grumpy this
2006.
Whole podcast.
I'm going to be true to myself. I've never seen this movie. I had never seen this movie.
I had seen it.
Yeah, you'd seen it like in high school or some shit.
Oh,
like, probably
yeah,
around when it came
around
out.
Around when it came out, yeah. So I didn't really remember a ton of it. I just remembered some choice quotables.
All I knew was the bees part. The infamous, meme-worthy Nicolas Cage bees part. Hey, you know what happens when you rent this movie on iTunes and you watch it? The fucking bees part is gone.
True story.
And replaced with a voiceover. Yeah. I could not believe it. I sat through that entire fucking movie waiting for the fucking bees part. We get to the end. No bees. Had to look it up. Apparently, that it's part of like the torture scene that is removed from what? All versions?
I think there's an unrated version that exists that you have to watch to see the bees.
Yeah. Part. Well, we found the scene on YouTube.
Yeah, thank God. Because we couldn't find it anywhere else.
Yeah. And so luckily someone uploaded just that scene to YouTube.
Because we weren't going to basically gamble and see if the version on Hulu or whatever had the bees part.
Yeah.
Because we already paid, what, $4 to rent
that
thing?
Yeah, $4 for this piece of shit. Fucking, listen, this movie is one of the worst movies I've seen. Maybe the worst movie we've reviewed on this podcast. It's so fucking bad. It just doesn't make any sense. The acting is, it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Unintentionally. Like, yeah. That's the whole thing it has going for it, is that it's, like, an unintentionally over-the-top.
There's some genuine laughs in this. And I want to say up front, too, that this movie has been memed to death.
Yeah.
I think it's probably been reviewed to death. I purposely didn't look. When I chose to do this movie, I purposely didn't look to see if other podcasts had done it. If there were reviews of it online, because I didn't want to be making... It feels a little bit like reviewing The Room or something.
Yeah.
Where it's...
Birdemic.
Or Birdemic, where every joke has been made already. So, sorry if we're rehashing some stuff, but I wanted to do it because James had never seen it and only knew the bees on the head part and not the other silly parts that I love.
I don't think there's anything in this movie that succeeds in what it's trying to do. Let me think.
Okay.
Ellen Burstyn is fine.
Yeah.
Because she's great.
She showed up.
Yeah, she showed up an hour into this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That chick from House of Cards was good.
Sister Rose, the teacher. Sister Beach is great.
Yeah, she's cool.
She the barmaid, kind of. She runs the little tavern.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Sister Beach.
That's maybe it. The rest, everything about this movie fucking sucks, dude. All right. But we can get into it.
Yeah, we're still going to go through the movie beat by beat, but I'm sure we're going to get sidetracked.
Yeah. Just a heads up. This movie sucks. If that wasn't clear enough. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Right,
my love.
Right away, I think a weird thing, and for some reason, I didn't think this was going to be the case, but as soon as the movie started, I realized, oh shit, of course they have to do this. It's set in America.
Yeah, whereas the original is an English movie.
Yeah, I think technically it's set on a Scottish island.
Hmm.
I forget what that little region of islands is called, but so it's very Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
Which
this is not.
The more we talk about what's going on in this story and kind of the mythos of the Wicker Man, the more you kind of realize an American setting is really weird.
Yeah, because they mention their Celtic ancestors.
Yeah,
later.
To be fair.
Yeah. I mean, I do like that we start with a truck that says WM on it. Wicker Man. Just drives by. And then the fucking opening credits start, and it's Papyrus.
Papyrus font, yes.
Yeah, it's that Avatar font.
Yeah.
It looks so shitty.
Didn't realize the very beginning where we start in this kind of trucker bar. Very Maximum Overdrive trucker bar.
And apparently, I think Aaron Eckhart's in there.
That's what I was
going to
say, is Aaron Eckhart is...
I didn't notice
it was him at all. But it's weird, because think about it.
This was around Dark Knight territory,
right?
No, this
was 2 years before. He was barely famous.
Oh. No, because I guess... I always knew him from Thank You for Smoking. But which is a great little dark comedy, but
isn't
I guess
that right after Dark
it's
Knight?
A right around here. It's definitely before Dark Knight Rises, because I knew him.
Yeah,
going into Dark Knight Rises as the Thank You for Smoking dude.
Yeah,
yeah, which he was great in the last time I saw.
And
it was
then,
like 10 years ago,
I think. Before Dark Knight, he also, I forget what the movie's even called. I just remember it has Scarlett Johansson in it, and it's that gif of Aaron Eckhart going like, he's
oh
like
my God.
Dancing.
That sounds familiar.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
He's like rubbing his head and dancing. Anyway, so that's Aaron Eckhart's career up to the Dark Knight, this and that gif.
Yeah.
So, Nicolas Cage is a cop.
He's a cop.
He's in this trucker diner, and he's looking through a little spinny thing of books that you have in every souvenir shop or Hallmark or whatever, and he finds this didn't come into play at all.
So many things in this movie are set up and then don't pay off at all. Because, it's like a self-help book?
He picks up a self-help book that we very pointedly get a shot of that's called Everything's Okay.
Yeah.
I forget if they were books or audio tapes. I think. Oh,
he says later
tapes.
It's a tape. Because later on, when he's on the island, he's like, "Hey, my tape is missing. It's called Everything's Okay.
It's called Everything's Okay.
Do you know where it went?" And the sister honey or whatever is like, "No, that's it. I think."
Yeah.
That's one of the things about this movie that fucking kills me, is how nothing pays off. There's a runner that's about to start that just goes on and on and on, and I can't for the life of me figure out the fucking purpose behind it.
I can't either.
Okay, I hope
No. I hope someone, I truly, truly hope someone shows up in the comments or on Twitter and is a Wicker Man expert and says,
"This movie for me,
guys. Listen,
yeah,
this is why this happens. How could you not get this?
Please, I'd be
Please.
So happy.
Yeah, call like insult us. Call us. I don't care. I just want to know why. Why?
We just need
and the
to
thing
know
we're
why.
Talking about. So okay, we see Nicolas Cage. It's a montage of him being a cop.
Yeah, doing cop stuff." Pulling a guy over,
writing a ticket.
Oh, that's what cops do? Thanks, movie, for letting me know. I couldn't have fucking guessed that.
James is so mad. So we see him riding his hog down the highway, and he is behind a car where a baby doll falls out the window, and it's a kind of a good shot.
Oh, he fucking swoops that thing up.
Yeah, he rides by on his bike, and he swoops up the doll.
Doesn't
without
even tap
stopping.
That brake.
And then he pulls over the car, that the doll fell out of, and there's a lady and a little girl in the back. He gives the girl her doll back.
This little girl is given a... I'm going to have to say the direction of this movie has to be the biggest failure. It was written and directed by the same guy. Maybe I shouldn't call him out by name, but also maybe we should all know, just in case, that this dude, Neil LaBute, Neil LaBute made this movie. Neil, this is all on you. Because the direction, because the actors are just going all over the place.
Yeah.
You need to put a leash on Nick Cage.
You do. Yeah, yeah, you have to.
Unless it's like Face Off, where it's like, great, do this, Nick Cage. But this movie's not Face Off. But anyway, this little girl is just given a weird performance. Just like, did you get my doll?
Yeah.
It's like Aubrey Plaza was put in this little girl's body.
Anyway, sorry again. Ever since lunch, she's been acting out.
I'm bored.
Well, I know what that's like, but we need to be careful with our things, don't we? So everyone else can be safe too, right?
So he gives her the doll back. She immediately throws it back out the window.
It's really funny. The mom's like, I'm sorry, it won't happen again. And then the doll flies out the window again.
And he's like, it's okay, I got it. And he goes and that almost sounded a little bit like Gary Busey. he goes and grabs the doll. And while he's in the middle of the street picking up the doll, a semi-truck just rails the car that this mom and kid are in.
Just fucking plows out of nowhere. Into it.
And this is the runner we're talking about that we can't quite piece together.
I don't know why.
So this truck hits a car. The car bursts into flames, and he uses his Nick Cage runs over, uses his helmet to smash the back window.
Because it looks like the mom's dead. She's not moving.
Yeah, she's like up against the airbags.
But the little girl is sitting there in the back seat, very
stone faced,
non-perturbed. And yeah, he uses his helmet to like break through the back of the thing, and he reaches through.
He's about to grab her.
Well, he's saying, take my hand. She's just sitting there because that's what this girl's doing. I'm bored, she said earlier. And then, yeah.
The car explodes. He's thrown backwards. Then he rushes back over to investigate, and we have a charred car and no bodies inside.
Well, I think, actually, once the explosion hits, it's a title card cut. And then later, they're like, there were no bodies. I think it's like explosion title card.
Okay.
The title card may come out of the explosion. Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
So basically, yeah, car explodes, body's gone.
Well, yeah, we find out in this next scene.
But I'm saying that's an important thing.
Oh, yeah. That's the runner that, like,
what the fuck?
I don't know.
Because we keep coming back to.
It keeps coming up in all these fucking, these like black and white flashbacks. Wow. That was weird for me to say. That like have these weird effects on them. And
yeah, I got that. Time delay.
Yeah, it's like a tracer effect kind of thing. And in some of the flashbacks, they're not there. Some of them, he like runs over and they're there in the car, and then they disappear.
He's basically haunted by not being able to save this.
But were they there? Were they a product of his imagination?
Because, yeah, pointedly in the scene after, he's at his house and this other police officer, he's throwing back Valium.
And he's wearing this sweater that has, it's just a gray sweater, but it has a sheriff's badge, like, design on it.
I feel like that's a thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's like the lazy cop, like, they're off duty, like, lounging, eating Cheetos day, but I still got the badge. It's like a fucking tuxedo t-shirt.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So, yeah, he's at home. He's eating Valium for lunch, and another cop shows up and she explains, no bodies. We don't know who they were.
We might never know. And the car wasn't registered.
Yeah.
Cool.
That too.
Cool. There's a mystery afoot. Too bad it never fucking gets resolved.
Yeah. Bless him. Nicolas Cage does play this entire movie like he is on Valium. And it's awesome. I think it's Valium. I didn't rewind to check. It just made the most sense to me. I think he says it's Valium. I think he offers the other cop some. She's like, no, I'm good.
No, it's fucking 1 p.m. on a Monday. I'm not going to have some of your Valium. Oh, my God. He gets a letter from his ex-Willow. Ex-fiance.
Ex-fiance,
that's a big
Willow.
Deal. Mm-hmm. And she says her daughter's missing.
Yes.
Her daughter, Rowan.
So he had no idea she had a daughter.
Yeah, that's a shock to
him. Yeah, so he learns that, and she writes to him because, yeah, she's back on this island.
Summer's Isle.
She says off Puget Sound. Summer's Isle, it's where she grew up, and so her kid's gone missing, and she figures, well, my ex is a cop. He can help find her. So she writes him a letter.
Yeah, and he finds it using internet that, like...
I love.
And it's 2006.
Fake movie,
it's not like
internet.
99 where you would expect this kind of fake.
I don't know. 2006 internet still looks like that.
2006
I think.
Internet is still like... just nerds are on the internet.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
it's before
still...
Facebook. It's that's the divide. It's still just a nerdy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's web 1.0 still. So, okay.
Yeah. I think it's fair.
I'll give it to him. But he looks up Summer's Isle and then searches bee products because of like the return address stamp on the envelope.
Is a bee.
I thought but it's not even like he types in bee products. It's like
there's
one
a drop down list.
Yeah.
It's like
a radio
vegetables.
Button selection. I don't know. At first, I thought he said beer products, and I thought he was like, well, if I'm going here to look for this kid, there better be good beer. But
yeah.
No, there's like bee products, and I don't know. He finds out what? That the island deals in honey.
Yeah, yeah. So the important thing is that Summer's Isle, which I think in the original is Summer Isle. This is Summer's... I don't know. So Summer's Isle, yes, is a bee colony, pretty much.
Bees?
They make honey products.
We'll
bee
see
stuff.
Who brings home more honey.
So he's gonna go there. So he gets as close as he can. Basically, I think he heads over to like the coast, the West Coast.
Yeah, it's like the Northwest Coast. It's off of Washington. He's in California. Also, crucial point here. He's a cop in California, and he
goes
to this island off the coast
of
Washington.
Very much not in his jurisdiction.
Very much not. And the whole time, he's running around this fucking island being like, I'm here on police business. This is a police matter. And he's like busting into houses and throwing people around and threatening them. And it's like, dude, you're not a cop here. You're a fucking private citizen.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a scene in the police station, but I don't think it's important.
I don't care. It's fine. I do like that the police officer in that scene just has a picture of a gun up on his screen. Just looking through the gun database. Generic gun.
Checking out guns.
Just looking at guns.
Okay, so to get to the island, he finds a pilot flying one of those like water boats, the kind that lands in water.
Mm-hmm.
And he's flying supplies to this private island. And he's like, ahoy there. And he tries to talk to this fucking pilot. And he tries to get a ride on the plane. And the pilot's like, no, it's a private island.
It's a private island.
We're all private people.
Yeah.
Fucking Nick Cage.
Okay, look, how about you take all of us there?
What do you mean, all?
Well, me, Mr. Grant here, and his twin brother Ulysses.
That's $100.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not familiar with which president's on which dollar bill, it's $100.
U.S. Grant is on the $50 bill. Also, who has $50 bills? That's like the least used bill.
Yeah, $100 bills are more common, I think, than $50.
Oh, by far. 50's down there with the two, basically, man.
Yeah, because I think even when you go to an ATM, you can select 20, 40, 60, and 100.
Yeah.
You can't just get a $50 bill.
You don't get $50 bills. But Nick Cage has two of them. And they
burning a hole in his pocket. So
and it works.
It works. So this here's the thing. In the 1973 version, it begins with the cop, the main character cop, flying into this island himself in this plane. I'm shocked. Shocked that Nicolas Cage wasn't flying a plane in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know for a fact if Nick Cage is a pilot, but I assume he is.
We just, always assume that he is.
Yeah.
But
even if
he's not, I just assume Nicolas Cage would learn how to fly a plane just to do this movie. But anyway, so he gets flown there.
Yep.
He shows up and everyone's very hostile right off the bat.
And they're all ladies.
Yes, there's a couple dudes there, but it's mostly women. It's women who are our main introduction to this little island. It's, I think, three or four women and two dudes holding a bloody sack.
What's in the bag? A shark or something?
We don't ever find out what's in that bag.
We never see what's in that fucking bag. What the fuck was in that bag?
Yeah. What if it was a shark?
It might have just been a shark. I don't know.
I don't think that's very legal. Can you just go shark fish? And maybe it's certain species of shark.
I don't think these people care.
That's true. They don't give a shit.
Oh, man.
Let's see.
Why is there no payoff for anything in this movie?
Okay. By the way, so going back to just the makeup of this colony, you get right off the bat that this is a matriarchal society because he goes into this tavern, all women. There's no men in the bar. It's all women sitting at tables drinking, which immediately is extremely different from the original. The original is a seemingly pretty equal society led by a dude, Christopher Lee,
Christopher Lee.
But it's basically a pagan society that worships sex and fertility. So the original movie is all about having sex in the open. There's people doing it just on the lawn in front of the little hotel, the little tavern that the cop is staying at. It's really different. There's like a focus on open sexuality and how much it freaks the main character out.
It's so funny that it just makes so much sense that, like, yeah, 1973 British film, that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's a ton of nudity.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, it's getting remade in America in 2006. 2006? The Bush era?
No sex.
Not a single nude thing abounded here.
This is the most it is like, because I was wondering when I was watching the original how the remake would handle that, because it's such an important part, the idea of reproduction and fertility and stuff is a big thing. And I'm wondering, how are they going to handle this open discussion of sex and representation of sex in this American remake? And the answer is that they don't really. They kind of do in the scene of the schoolhouse.
I feel like that's more of an homage than anything else.
Yeah, it is.
I have a question. In the original, is that kind of ideology, the pro-sex kind of mentality, is it made to be, I know that they're like kind of the bad guys, but is it made to be like a bad ideology?
I don't think so. I think it's more, and this is something that works so well with the original that they don't play with at all in this remake, is you have this cop protagonist who we see in the beginning is a very devout Christian.
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you."
It's very pointedly kind of creating this contrast of, you know, it's weird for someone who's a Christian, this guy who's this cop, coming in and saying this is all weird and crazy, where we see him at the beginning doing his own weird ritual. So it's just, it's not, you know, I wouldn't say it's condemning this, like,
because I feel like this movie replaces the sex positive or whatever community of the original with this like matriarchal society, and it does kind of seem to have this like, you crazy bitches.
It's
a weird thing. It's like,
it seems,
what are you doing to your men?
Uh-huh.
That's not a direct quote, but it could be.
It could be. It does seem very,
I want to know what went into that decision of like changing it. I don't know, man.
Must be a ladies' night.
This is when he has a dream seat. He goes to bed for the night. He's put up in this tavern by Sister Beach. And so he falls asleep and has this dream sequence where is he on the ferry to the island?
No. Oh, that's right. We forgot, on the ferry to the coast or whatever, before he takes that plane, he's like on a ferry and he looks out and he sees a little girl with her back to him, and she's dressed in red, which I think is the same as the little girl from the car in the beginning. And she has pigtails, because all the little girls in this fucking movie have pigtails, and she's standing there with her back to him, and then a semi-truck hits her on this boat. It's a hallucination, obviously, but it's ridiculous. It's unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
And then he dreams of it again. And like the first time it happened on the boat itself, we were both like, whoa, crazy. It got us. But then he has a dream
where it happens again.
It just does it again.
You're just kind of waiting for the truck to show up. And so he wakes up. I think that's all. It doesn't matter. Let's just keep going.
Well, no, because it's the dream of the boat. And then he has the dream.
Oh, of no one being in the car.
Or no one being on the boat. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, he wakes up and he sees a kid running away through the woods.
So, okay. So he follows her in. There's a lot of pointless sequences in this movie.
Yeah.
But this might be the most pointless one. Because he sees a little girl. He follows her.
Because he thinks it's Rowan.
Yeah.
The so girl he's looking for.
Run. So he runs into this barn and he's just clambering around in this barn. He sees a red sweater.
Mm-hmm.
He's up on like the second floor or like the loft of this barn. Yep. And then he falls through the loft floor and is hanging. And it's just this weird moment of peril. But then he saves himself. And that's the end of that scene.
That's it.
Why?
That's it. That's all that happens.
It's not even, you know.
He didn't learn anything.
It's not a near death thing. It's just he could have got hurt.
He could
have twisted his ankle.
We learned nothing from the scene.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. We do learn in the next scene when he's having breakfast that the island is out of honey.
Oh, that's right, because he's using store-bought shit.
He's trying to squeeze it out of the bottle. It's just like... just making the fart noises with the bottle, and it's like, hey,
I thought honey was your thing.
Yeah. And he's told, no, our harvest sucked ass last year, and we don't have honey, sorry.
And we don't have this honey.
We don't have this honey.
And then he looks over and just now realizes that there's a wall.
There's a bunch of pictures, and this is this is one of the things where it does kind of feel like this is a remake where every once in a while it'll be like, oh shit, let's put this thing in from the original, like check this box.
Sounds
off.
Like the Black Christmas remake, kind of. It's like,
I didn't see the Black Christmas remake.
You're lucky. It's like, oh, here's some imagery that we can reuse from the original in our totally different tale.
Right. Yeah. Right. So he sees all these pictures on the wall that it's every single picture is a different girl around like 7, 8-ish years old, maybe a little older, standing with this harvest.
It's the harvest festival.
It's like barrels of fruits and vegetables. Yeah, it's every spring they have this harvest festival. I think they kind of crown one girl the May Queen, and she's like associated with the harvest for that year. So the thing is if the harvest fails, then it's that girl's fault because it's a ritual, you know. They kind of place the...
Is harvest in the spring or the fall? We're not farmers.
Well, no, because it's like the maypole and the May... I think spring is, you know, I think it's supposed to be spring.
Okay. I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Okay, thanks. Or you know what? It could have been whatever. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
I feel like it might be fall.
You know, it might be fall, and then the May Day is when they punish the...
Oh, okay.
Right. Is the follow-up to, hey, our harvest sucked last year. Now we're going to have this May Day ritual to make up for it, and hopefully the gods give us a good harvest this fall.
Yeah, because he notices that the last picture on the wall...
It's gone.
And it must have just happened.
And then he asks what happened to it, and the explanation he's given is, oh, I broke. Which, to be fair, is the explanation in the original, which I found very funny.
That's funny.
It's like, oh, oops, it broke, and something. Everyone's really vague about it and acts like it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
So it's the most recent picture is gone.
So he talks to this younger girl who works at the bar. Sister Honey? Is that just her name? I think it's Sister Honey, this actress like Lily
Sobieski.
Oh, what's she in? You know her name.
Shit, I forget. I know people are going to yell at me for forgetting what stuff she's in, but like she's in stuff.
Okay, yeah, I think it's Sister Honey. It is, which great.
It's a good name.
But they're all talking about honey. They're literally in this scene, he asks for honey from Sister Honey. It's almost as dumb as the fact that the island Summer's Isle is run by Sister Summer's Isle. What the fuck?
Not great.
What the fuck, movie?
Because I don't want to veer too far off this plot.
Well, no, because you said in the original that Christopher Lee plays Lord Summerisle, who runs the island.
Yeah,
the
island's
not called Summerisle.
It is, but that makes sense if you're the lord of Summerisle.
Yeah, it's like a royalty thing.
Because what it is his either grandfather or great grandfather came to the island to, and none of this is in the remake at all, which is like cool lore and a reason for why this kind of colony exists and why it's an agricultural society, is that his grandfather, whoever, comes to this island because he is basically an agricultural scientist, and he wants to develop different species of plants and stuff that will thrive in this Scottish island where stuff couldn't before.
Well, instead that gets replaced by when Ellen Burstyn eventually shows up. She says that her ancestors,
my Celtic ancestors all the way back, rebelled against the suppression of the feminine. So in the late 17th century, they fled to the New World. Unfortunately, they settled near Salem.
Oops, the New World actually sucks more.
Yeah, and they got caught up in those witch trials, so they kept going west until they wound up on the island.
I think a thing a lot of people don't realize about the early colonies and the Puritans is like, we have the narrative of the Puritans were coming here to escape repression, religious repression. So I totally get how that equates to, everyone in England must have been so awful and the Puritans are... But no, the Puritans were just the assholes that no one liked.
Yeah.
And were like, you're too intense. And we
like,
don't... And they're like,
fine,
we'll go be more intense across the ocean. So that's why when Ellen Burstyn's family comes to the New World, they're like, fuck, this is actually worse. So then they come all the way to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And they start this.
How'd they do that?
People did it,
I guess.
I mean,
God, can you imagine going west across the United States back then?
Oh my
before
God.
Roads? Are you kidding?
I mean, when we drove Route 66, there's parts of it that are the trails that people were taking during the Dust Bowl and stuff to head west to California. And it's incredible driving along those roads and realizing people walked this.
Yeah.
People walked this with their whole family to escape. Yeah.
And
to
mountains.
Like build a whole new life. It's
insane,
so nuts.
Dude. Must have taken a year.
You gotta drive across America at least once.
Definitely do it.
Yeah. Okay. Back to this movie.
So he talks to Sister Honey and he's like, what's happening on the day of tomorrow? I don't know. even she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? But she says, like, when you leave, can you take me with you? Which I feel is not sincere from what we learn in the end. But she points him in the direction of the woods and says, hey, that's where, I don't know.
The schoolhouse.
The schoolhouse is.
He's looking for the schoolhouse so he can, you know, question the teacher.
Mm-hmm. So he goes through the woods and he finds the schoolhouse.
Another scene pretty much from the original schoolhouse. But
and the teacher is Molly Parker. That's the actress's name.
House of Cards.
She's Jackie Rosen in season 2 and onward of House of Cards.
I think she was nominated for awards for House of Cards. I could be wrong.
Maybe. She's great. I really like her.
I liked her in this.
Yeah. But she's the teacher.
Mm-hmm. So he comes in and he walks in mid lesson because he walks by a maypole outside, and so when he gets in the schoolhouse, the teacher's asking, okay, now what does the maypole represent and what do men represent? And all the kids go,
phallic symbol, phallic symbol.
School's really changed since I was a kid.
He starts like interrogating the kids. He's like, I'm a policeman, look at my badge. And he passes a photo around of Rowan, and they're all like, no, we don't recognize her.
Uh-huh.
He opens an empty desk, and a bird flies out.
Yeah, he goes, he sees an empty desk, and he asks, well, whose is this? It has to be Rowan's.
Yeah.
Opens the desk, a raven flies out, which I think Rowan means raven.
Oh, yeah?
I could be wrong.
Back on the names meaning something thing. I guess they mean something.
They do.
But then he looks into, like, the attendance book and he sees Rowan's name, and like everyone so far has been saying, they're not saying we don't know where she is.
Yeah, everyone on the island says Rowan does not exist.
Yeah, they're saying
we have
this.
No idea who you're talking about.
Yeah, this they're saying his ex-fiance Willow is just crazy and making shit up, and that Rowan doesn't exist. But he finds her name in the attendance book, and he's like, "You little liars!" He yells at all the girls.
It's so
and then
good.
He turns to the teacher and is like, "You're the biggest liar of all."
Put that back.
Sorry, you're gonna have to bear with me.
So the teacher takes him outside and talks to him. And is like, yeah, fine, Rowan existed, but now she's not here. And he's like, what, she's dead? And the teacher's like, well, that's what you would call it, but we believe souls live in everything.
Yeah, kind of line for line from the original.
Yeah,
all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the teacher, after explaining, you know, like when we, you know, when someone passes, we believe the soul is in fire, water, air, like, you know, nature pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And so
they don't use the word died or death.
No. And when he asks, but she does say she'll burn to death. And then he's like, what was that? And she's like, she burned to death.
She corrects herself.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, corrects. And then he asks like where she is. And she, again, it's the whole like, never saying it directly, but she's like, where you think she would be.
Yeah. So, he asked specifically, where's her body? If you just admitted to her being dead, where's mm-hmm. the body? And she says, where you think she would be. So
like buried.
Yeah.
So he goes and finds the gravesite.
And we can tell that the graveyard is an old Christian church, which again, it doesn't make sense to set this in America. It's weird.
Mm.
Because when you set it in Scotland, you have centuries of this war between paganism and Christianity. So it makes so much more sense for there to just be really old churches and this sense of something that's been around forever. Like old gods in that part of the world feel really creepy and kind of real, you know, when you think about them.
Yeah.
I think the only way this could work if you wanted to set in America is use a very specific native mythology, which I don't want anyone involved in this film to try going near that kind of movie, but that is a way you could adapt it.
Yeah. And then his ex Willow is there. She's just there at the grave. Oh. She comes out of nowhere.
And this is, I'm just going to put this clip in.
Okay.
This is how we all feel, just at this point in
film.
I'm lost.
I don't know.
In this scene, she mentions our daughter. So, boom, bombshell that I saw coming. I don't know. I feel like it was pretty obvious that Nick Cage is revealed to be Rowan's father.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. She liked to draw and swim.
Yeah, she takes Nicolas Cage back to their home, and you know, when she disappeared, all of her belongings were taken too. Nothing is here, and so Nicolas Cage is looking around. It's an all white room, and there's a little desk. And when he turns the desk, he looks on the underside, and it's drawings that like
it says, "Help me."
It's creepy little kid drawings from any horror movie with a creepy kid.
Then I don't know, at this point in the movie, I'm so pissed that I feel like I probably missed something,
okay, I might have better notes.
Cause he goes to the dock.
Yeah. I have this. This is great.
So why is he going to the dock to meet up with the pilot?
Yeah. Cause he's going to get the fuck out of there.
He is just going to get the fuck out.
He's
going to
get out and bring reinforcements.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
To be fair, he is going to leave and bring cops this is their jurisdiction.
Good.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
He's
great
gonna just
change of pace.
Fill
Nick.
Up that little plot hole.
Nice so he goes neat. To the dock, and then there's like a dissolve and he's still on the dock. And like the dissolve is like, oh, time has passed.
Yeah,
because
he sees the plane there and he's like, where the pilot, I guess, off getting a sandwich. I don't know. So he's sitting there waiting.
And he like nods off because when the dissolve, like after the dissolve, he like wakes up.
Yeah.
And he looks down and
he sees hair, blonde hair floating in the water in the top of a head.
Like underneath a grate or something that he can see through. So he like dives under there. And he swims out, and it's Rowan's body, all waterlogged and drowned, and holy shit. And then
he goes to ground, and then he wakes up. And then he looks down, and oh my god, he's holding
Rowan's
a body!
Oh my god, drowned.
And then he
wakes up
again.
Oh. Fuck it!
This got a very big laugh, I think, because after that part happened, I remembered it. It was like, oh yeah, I remember this weird
the double fake
thing
out
where
dream.
He wakes up and he's just holding this body. But yeah. it felt good. I know you hated it, but it felt like visiting a shitty, you know, like your shitty friend from back home that like is shitty.
Oh, yeah.
And you wouldn't introduce to any of your friends now, but
yep.
And you know they're bad, but you like them, and this felt like hanging out with that friend a little bit.
Yeah. That's fun. That's a good way to put it. Huh?
Yeah.
So then he swims over to the plane and he finds it sabotaged. Mm-hmm. It's all like torn up and shit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So he swims back, guessing?
I guess.
Right here I have he finds out that the I think he acquires a bicycle at this point in the movie.
Oh, that's when he gets the bike?
He gets a bike. I think it's cut
in.
To...
Also, he's always wearing a suit. And that is... Nick Cage is always wearing a suit.
In every...
Are there any movies where he doesn't wear a suit? I feel like he's always running around in a suit. Oh, sure.
That's a leather suit.
Because, yeah, he winds
oh,
up...
you know, Wild at Heart, I think he's got, like, Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, that's fun.
Man does love Elvis.
He winds up going to the doctor's place, right? Francis Conroy? T.H. Moss?
Oh, yeah. Because okay,
I think that's what it cuts to. It cuts from him like in the plane.
You're right. I think just I him... just didn't take... Yeah, I okay.
Yeah,
I lied. My notes are also probably shit at this point because I just couldn't keep track.
Because he goes and talks to Francis Conroy, who is the town physician and photographer.
It was exciting to see Francis Conroy.
She's great. She's in American Horror Story.
She's probably the best part of every season of American Horror Story she's in.
I mean, she's one of the best ones, but you got stiff competition
true.
There. There's a lot of great acting talent in American Horror Story.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
James Cromwell, season 2. One
Mossy
of my favorite
Bank.
Characters. Mossy Bank. Oh no. So yeah, she's the town pharmacist slash town photographer, which again, thing from the original.
You know what? They came, those occupations were back to back alphabetically, and everyone had to take two jobs. So it was
I'm like
the pharmacist and photographer.
It's kind of like back in the day, you go to the barber to get your haircut, but also get your teeth pulled.
Oh, I was going to say the barber's also the baker, because those would be back to back.
I see.
But yeah.
No, that was like real.
But that was a real thing, because that's the red and white. Mm-hmm. Well, that was from Bloodletting.
Yeah, barbers, it's weird. Barbers were like a medical profession. So that's what the barber pole is. I think, yeah, the red is blood and the white is...
There were the bloody rags that they would like stick up there to dry or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
But yeah, so that's the... Anyway.
History.
History.
A possibly apocryphal.
Do you know
history?
That like old school dentists too would hang up teeth that they've pulled outside of their offices? Like, look. I can do this. I pulled teeth. Come on and get your teeth
that's
pulled.
That's very inviting. he talks to her and eyes a book and then leaves and waits for her to leave.
Well, because the reason he's there is because he wants to know, hey, this picture, this like harvest photograph I noticed is missing. Would you by any chance have a copy? And she's like, yeah, I have a negative. I'll make a copy for you. Continue.
Yeah, and then he like leaves, hides out in some bushes. Very funny shot of him spying from the bushes as she leaves.
It's very good. It looks like a different movie for a second. He looks like he's in a jungle.
Yeah, and then she leaves with some creepy looking beekeeping ladies.
I like the beekeeper costume designs. That's a nice thing I'll say about this
movie.
Sure,
yeah. Always try to find something. And then so he sneaks into her house and he's rooting around and there's fucking fetuses in jars and shit.
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about? What's that all about?
I mean, it's just weird.
Just weird?
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Wicker Man. And then he finds the picture for Harvest Girl 2005, which was the last year, and that's Rowan.
And it's Rowan. Rowan was, and so, and he, man, here's the difference between showing and telling.
The fact that it says worst harvest on
he
record.
Goes worst yeah okay original movie we have and I can't even put the clip in because it's just showing and not telling when the cop is looking through the pictures he is kind of flipping through past pictures, and you see girls standing next to bountiful harvests.
Oh, okay.
So when he gets to Rowan, it's her and a bunch of just empty baskets with like an apple and like some shitty lettuce.
Nice.
Then in this one, Nicolas Cage is flipping through and then gets to Rowan's and flips it over. It just goes, worst harvest on record.
Worst harvest ever.
Ever.
Yeah, it's like written there. Yeah. So then he goes and talks to his ex some more, Willow. And here's a fun line I wrote down. He says he's bouncing around in circles. That's impossible. When you bounce, that's a right angle, or that's an acute angle.
That's a wonderful thing about Tiggers. That's what that sounds like. It's bounced around in a circle.
I guess that could happen.
Right.
Okay. Because I'm imagining like a top-down 2D perspective, like a ball bouncing around off of walls, and it's like that can't be a circle.
Yeah,
because those are like angles. You can't bounce in a curve.
But you can be like in.
Tell me.
I'm drawing. Okay, here we go. I'm telling.
Right. I'm seeing a circle.
I'm trying to show, not tell, but it's a podcast, so it's hard. I'm going to describe what I'm doing. Okay. I have a picture of a circle.
Yep. See that. Okay. And now drop an object in there like a bouncy ball.
Okay. Here's Nicolas Cage.
Okay. Sure. Nicolas Cage.
And he's
his face
bouncing
on a bouncy ball.
Around in a circle.
Oh, in a circle. I thought he was like, okay, this is dumb.
Guys, this is what this movie did to our brain.
Yeah. It fucking broke us.
You know what we could do right now?
What?
Just because we're at this point mentally, we're going to take like a minute. And we're going to have the Christopher Lee minute of the Dead Meat podcast.
Because Christopher Lee starred in the original.
He's in there. He's Lord of Summer Isle in the original. And both James and I love Christopher Lee. And we thought it would be tragic if we did an episode about The Wicker Man, even if it is the remake, without talking about Christopher Lee for a little bit. This is a palate cleanser.
Listen, Christopher Lee won life.
He did.
There's no one else who lived their life more successfully than Christopher Lee. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, I would love to hear other contenders for this. But so Christopher Lee, I just wrote down a list of just crazy shit about his life. He lived to be 93.
Yeah.
He's Ian Fleming's step cousin.
Oh, creator of James Bond.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, you know, James Bond villain.
Yeah, okay, as far as his acting goes.
Yeah, here, yeah, so, okay, what, he's...
Okay, so he's fucking Dracula.
Yes.
Right, okay. He's Scaramanga,
yep,
a Bond
James
villain.
James Bond villain.
Yeah, he's Saruman in Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. He's Count Dooku in Star Wars. This dude, his career was so long and, like, always active that he managed to be... fucking Dracula early on.
Hammer film Dracula.
Yeah.
He so actually, the Wicker Man, fun fact, the Wicker Man was he actively worked to get this movie made because he was so sick of playing Dracula. He did the Wicker Man for free. He wasn't paid. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Because he wanted to just break out of the typecasting of being Dracula.
Well, I guess it worked because that was 73 and he was Scaramanga, the man with the golden gun, the next year in 74. So he was so he was Dracula. Then he was in a Bond movie as part of one of the longest running, most successful franchises of all time. He winds up being in Lord of the Rings, one of the most successful franchises of all time.
Yeah. And between that, a bunch of like... we can't even like list everything he did. Then just like, yeah, so he's Saruman. He knew J.R.R. Tolkien in real life.
J.R.R. Tolkien said that he wanted him to be Gandalf.
Gandalf, yeah. Which, watching him as a younger man in The Wicker Man, I could see it.
Okay.
But him as an older man, like, he's such a good Saruman.
Yeah. He's a knight, obviously.
Yep, he was knighted. Married his whole life. He married in 1961. Married to the same woman until he died.
Yep.
That's true love. Let's see. He met, real life, he met Rasputin's assassins.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Under some crazy circumstances. This is longer than a minute. I don't care.
Well, let's not fucking shorthand. Like, he was in war. He was in World War II.
World War II. He enlisted. He tracked down Nazi war criminals in World War II. He had malaria 6 times. At least. I don't know if 6 is the maximum amount of times he got malaria, but... he witnessed the last public execution in France.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah.
Wow.
He then, in later in life, had a decent heavy metal career.
Yeah. A symphonic metal band.
Yeah. He released a heavy metal album when he was 90 years old.
I think he's on record as the oldest heavy metal musician.
Yeah. And when he was 92, he released another EP.
So yeah, I don't know if there's anyone else.
Like, that's a man right there.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's anyone else whose life was as successful as Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
He lived a long time. He did a lot of shit. He served his country. He was an artist. He was in love.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you do, man? Thanks, Christopher Lee.
Yeah. That's a real man right there.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, back to the Wicker Man.
Back to... Fuck.
I hope everyone enjoyed that detour, because I did. I felt so engaged.
It's every time I learn something about Christopher Lee, I'm like, this guy
I know.
Did everything.
I know. Oh, I'll put in, just as a little outro from the segment, I'll put in a clip of him singing from the original Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah, with his awesome voice.
Good Lord.
Of course.
Broom, would you kindly show the sergeant out? This way, sir. Goodbye.
Fair mate, says he, your kettle's cracked. The cause is plainly told. There hath so many nails been drove, mine own could not take hold.
Okay,
back to this shit.
Back to this shit.
So
we learn around this point that the men on the island cannot talk.
Mm-hmm.
They assume, I'm assuming they have their tongues cut out.
Because, yeah, he helps that one dude load some logs.
Yeah, he's riding his bike and he sees a bunch of dudes loading logs up on a truck, and he pulls over his bike and is like, hey, let me help you, and then fucks it up. All the logs come tumbling down and he has to fucking push this dude out of the way to save him from being crushed.
Then he runs into bees.
Yeah, I think he's heading to... Sister Summer's Isle,
mm-hmm.
And she, her estate or whatever, is just surrounded by bees.
It's a cool overhead shot of like the honeycomb pattern paths to all the different beehives. That's fun.
Yeah,
that's good. But he runs into this like beehive area, and he's allergic to bees. But then he just like starts running from them, and we're like, what? Did he forget his fucking EpiPen? No, he just didn't.
He just wanted
to like run and fall down a hill before trying to pull it out and failing to use it. He doesn't make it in time.
Yeah.
So he passes out and he wakes up and it's Sister Summer's Isle's area.
I mean, Frances Conroy revived him.
Yeah, she's there.
He's in Sister Summer's Isle's house, which is beautiful, by the way.
It's a nice house.
To be fair, the interiors of all the buildings in this movie, I'm pretty obsessed with.
Yeah.
Even Frances Conroy's house, her cottage.
Yeah.
Not the weird fetus jars, but just, yeah, the look of everything in this is really nice. Sister Summer's Isle's house is amazing.
So, yeah, we finally have Sister Summer's Isle. It's an hour in. It's Ellen Burstyn, mm-hmm. of The Exorcist and other great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's awesome.
She's dressed. I like that she's dressed in yellow, like Lord Summer Isle is,
yeah.
when we first meet him. I think that was an intentional nod.
So she mentions that like the Great Mother Island is their god. She's like the Pope of this whole religion, like
yeah.
the speaker of the island.
I think not so subtly, she's the queen bee,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, okay, I get what they're trying to do. She's the queen and we've got Lord of some, you know, queen, Lord.
And she says that men are for breeding.
That's
which
right.
Which is like how bees
That's
are.
That's how bees are.
Yeah.
What a... Just this movie's idea of what a world is when it's run by women is so funny. It's just...
I feel like this movie is... This is certain people on the internet's conception of feminism.
Absolutely.
Like, you let the feminists take over, they're going to cut out all our tongues and just keep us for breeding. And they're going to put bees on your head.
Yeah. Got bees on my head, but don't call me a bee head. That's a Andy Milonakis show reference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Deep cut.
Yeah, congrats to anyone who got that. Are those direct lyrics or are you?
Yeah, no, that's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So he asks to exhume the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he gets permission.
Yeah, so, after she explains.
Whole bunch. Oh, yeah.
We already talked about it.
It's fine.
She's like, all right, go exhume the body.
So might as well do it at night.
Yeah.
Might as well go dig up this body at night with a flashlight instead of doing it in the goddamn day.
I mean, it's a little more fun that way.
It definitely is for us. And especially when he finds a fucking baby doll in the grave.
This fucking baby doll is where we get one of the best quotes in the movie. So he opens up this coffin. There's not a body inside. There's just a burned doll. And so he finds his ex.
Well, this is after the underwater thing. Because remember, he goes underground under a tomb.
Oh, God, I didn't even write any of that stupid shit.
I know,
because
he gets trapped underwater by someone.
Cool, because when he's in the graveyard, he finds this doll, and then there's basically a giant, it's a grave where, think like Nightmare Before Christmas style.
Sure.
How you get from the real world back to Halloween Town after Jack sings the sad song, and he opens up a grave and climbs downstairs.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a little like that.
To like an underground tomb that's flooded with water.
Yeah.
And then someone, we don't know who, like, locks him in, and he's, like, stuck under there just above the water line with a grate. And then he, because the only reason I wrote it down is because I guess he, like, sleeps there overnight or whatever.
Yeah.
And he has those fucking flashbacks some more fucking flashbacks
to the car crash, the car accident.
Where it's like, were they really in there? Were they not? And it never comes to anything.
Yeah. Again, if it does and we somehow
please
missed it.
Please tell us. I'll feel fine feeling like a dumbass.
Yeah, me too.
That's fine with me. But yeah, his ex finds him the next morning and gets him out of there.
Yeah.
And
this is what I'm not even going to try and do it justice.
Oh, you got to.
How to get burned?
I don't know.
And then he winds up outside where.
And he basically hijacks a bike.
Oh, from Sister Rose.
The teacher,
yeah.
He gets out his gun and says, step away from the bike, and then takes her bike.
Yeah.
And he starts going around town looking for Rowan, because he's snapped and just wants to find this kid.
Yeah. He knows... Is this after he finds the dead pilot on the beach?
Yeah.
The pilot's corpse?
Yeah, the pilot's dead.
With, like, his hands removed... And he looks like the Wicker Man at the end. The big, like, Wicker Man effigy thing. He, like, looks like that. The mm-hmm. pilot's corpse. Yeah, they killed the pilot. But, yeah, so he's just running around snapping masks off of kids.
Fuck, it's so good. He runs into a house, and there's a mom and a daughter. Both, they're wearing animal masks. Everyone in the town now has these weird animal masks on, like rabbits, foxes, birds, whatever. And so he runs into this house and he looks at the mom and goes, take that mask off your kid. And he flips it off her head. The next few minutes is him going into people's houses.
Yeah. And going into their houses.
And again, not his jurisdiction. This is and it's him just like ripping masks off kids' heads.
Hey, take those masks off.
Hey, stop
Come
it.
Come here.
He runs into the tavern and just slugs Sister Beach right in the face.
Dude, he punches her in the face so hard.
He steals. Yeah, it's May Day. It's the May Day celebration. Everyone's got costumes for it. So he steals Sister Beach's after he knocks her out, which is a bear costume.
Yeah, because she's a larger woman.
Yeah.
So she's got a big old bear costume, and he's like, cool, I'll just wear this fucking bear costume.
So
funny when he runs out of the woods as the bear and hops in line with the May Parade and is like talking to his ex.
Oh my God. If you've ever seen a performance of, I think it's Winter's Tale is the play where it's Exit. If you've ever seen a live performance of that, which I have.
Exit Frame Left Pursued by a
Bear.
Yeah, exit pursued by, this is what.
It looks like Nicolas Cage is just in a production of that show where the actor just as the bear is running around.
So, yeah, this like I kind of stopped taking notes at this point because this is the big grand finale after he's in this bear costume and there's this big ass parade going to the
May
Pole.
Yeah, it's the May Day parade mm-hmm. and he kind of joins in and tries to blend in his bear costume.
It kind of works,
sure. Although I think everyone just knows that it's him.
Yeah. Because as we're shortly about to learn.
Yeah. So then when they kind of round a corner, they're on this parade, and he sees Rowan mm-hmm. tied up looking like she's about to be sacrificed. So he kind of pauses and then just runs over in this super wide shot where... I think the wide shot makes it so much funnier because it's so far away and you just see this weird Nicolas Cage bear run up to save her. And there's a woman blowing a horn next to Rowan, and he runs up, punches this woman in the face, just like clocks her. Like,
what is it? What's wrong, sister?
Don't be frightened.
And unties her from the tree, and then they make a break for it.
Mm-hmm. They're running through the woods.
They're running through the woods. Nicolas Cage's cell phone goes off for some reason.
So now he has reception.
And it reminds me of a thing that plays before a movie, like, turn off your phones.
Why? But this wasn't even necessary.
It wasn't.
There's no point to this phone going off and him briefly talking to someone.
I think it's, you know what? I think the point is to get him out of the bear costume for the ending.
Oh, okay.
No, seriously, because he's in the stupid bear costume.
Right, and the phone goes off and he has to, like...
Yeah, because the phone is, like, in his pocket, so he's like, oh, shit, and he takes off the whole bear costume, looks at his phone, and is like, hello? Hello? And he can't hear anyone, hangs up, and now he's out of the bear costume for the end of the movie.
Couldn't have just been like, I'll move a lot faster without this bear costume.
I don't know, man.
Whatever, dude. What the fuck ever.
I think that's why that was written in there.
I think when he's trying on the phone is when Rowan runs away from him, too, while he's distracted.
Yep, so Rowan bolts, and she runs out of the woods, and he follows her, and we see all of the village people.
Yeah, and she runs
not
straight.
The band.
Just the four. No, just, there's more than four.
Just the. I think there are a bunch of them.
They have, like,
yeah,
a lot of, like, the unspoken heroes.
Oh,
of
my
the
gosh,
people.
What if it was just all of them?
Yeah. Well, they all have crazy outfits on.
Yeah.
I'm digging Sister Rose's crazy, like, black feathery
it's
raven.
Good, the raven.
Yeah, I think it's a raven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, Rowan runs straight into the arms.
Like,
did I do it right,
Mommy? And she says yes. So we realize Rowan was in on it.
It's all
his
been a plot against
in on
Nick
it.
Cage.
Everyone's in on
it's
it.
It's a big old plot. There's a plot to get him.
And then we get, okay. Well, let me try to explain Ellen Burstyn's big speech, because again, the ending is the setting of the ending is the same as the original, like him realizing, oh god, everyone's in on it. The little girl leads him to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the explanation, and just by nature of how this movie is set up, is so different. So Ellen Burstyn's like, this has been planned for years. We basically sent out Willow to date and marry you.
I date and marry a cop, pretty much.
A cop. Yeah. Specifically a cop, yeah, who has this sense of justice,
sure,
and a guilty conscience. You know, like, will,
yeah,
easily be lured to this island. So it's this really long con of getting pregnant.
Willow went there. She found a cop, Nick Cage, and started a relationship with him, got impregnated,
yeah,
left him. Years later, writes to him. Like, what, 7 years,
years
later?
Later, when this harvest happens to be bad.
I guess they just have, it's like a backup. It's like, whenever the harvest is bad, we can call on this card. So, like, could have happened a few years prior. And
to,
like,
a different guy?
Maybe, or even like, hey, my 4-year-old daughter is missing, or my 13-year-old daughter is missing.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess. But then all the girls are like the same-ish age every year,
oh,
in the
shit,
picture.
That's true. That's true.
So,
that's true. Maybe they just have different, they have a different guy that they've done this to for every year. And then,
I mean, that could explain why we see so many pregnant women walking around.
There's a lot of pregnant ladies. Maybe they just gotten back from, like, the mainland after having convinced some cop to impregnate them.
It's very convoluted, and you have to kind of think. It forces you to think how the fuck this could have worked so perfect.
Because this was the plot was, yeah, when they had a bad harvest year. And so they need a sacrifice.
They need a sacrifice.
A stranger with ties to the
with
island.
With ties to the island.
So Nick Cage is a stranger, but he has the blood ties to the island through Rowan. So that's why they need him specifically to sacrifice. And yes, this whole thing was a plot to get him there.
It's bananas.
It's B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yeah. And should I just explain the original?
Yeah. Oh, I guess. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you kind of... Okay, yeah. So the original, first of all, the cop's character is really different. There's no, like, the missing girl's not his daughter in any way. He has no relationship to the island whatsoever. We get immediately that he is very religious, and the women of the town, specifically the tavern owner's daughter, they're always trying to seduce him, and he's constantly tempted but won't, because he says he doesn't believe in it before marriage.
Okay.
So they know he's a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh.
Yeah, so the ending, Lord Summerall explains that
you, Sergeant, are the right kind of adult. As our painstaking researches have revealed, you, uniquely, were the one we need.
A man who would come here of his own free will.
A man who has come here with the power of a king by representing the law.
A man who would come here as a virgin.
A man who has come here as a fool.
And I guess for anyone confused, like, why do they have to be a cop? It's just because they would investigate. Right. It's yeah, exactly.
It's an easy, like, you know, you date a fucking, accountant. You can't call on him to come to the island and help find a missing.
Right. Yeah. So they know, like, this cop is going to show up. Mm-hmm. And they need a man who, there's a lot of talk about the symbolism of the festival of a fool being king for a day. And so that's what he becomes, is he's the fool who's king for a day, because he's basically anointed as king before he's sacrificed.
Mm.
It's way better and less convoluted. It's still, you know, you could pick holes and they're like, well, how did they find this cop? And how? But like, it makes more sense than the remake.
The long con of getting pregnant 7 years ago.
Yeah. And then the whole ending of both of the, you know, remake and original, you have the cop screaming about how he doesn't believe in their gods. He doesn't believe in their rituals. It makes so much more sense if you have this like super Christian guy who is like screaming about how he doesn't believe. And then you have Christopher Lee going, well, like, well, all the better. We're giving you a martyr's death. Like, if you're so Christian, this should be the greatest day of your life, because you're going to be among the saints after Jesus. You die. It's great. Yeah. The ending of the original is super disturbing and like, just like, go watch it. Don't watch this.
It's, yeah, because this one ends with, well, they surround him and he threatens to shoot them all
again,
with his gun.
Dynamic is very different when he's got a gun.
Yeah.
Cop doesn't have a gun in the original.
Why? Just because it's England?
Yeah,
like,
he's
even
not
in the
running
70s,
around
they
with a gun.
Guns?
They have is it Bobby stick? Is that what they're called?
Batons? I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, like the cop in the original's not packing heat.
Yeah, so Nick Cage is like pointing a gun at everyone.
He's like, step the fuck away.
Yeah, he says that so many times. And the whole time I'm thinking like, dude, go grab Ellen Burstyn, put the gun to her head, and get your ass off that island, because they're not going to fucking come at you if you threaten to shoot their leader in the head. Turns out that wouldn't have been a viable plan, because the bullets have been removed from his gun by his ex, Willow. Damn, Willow.
Yeah.
Willow, you suck.
Yeah.
And so they surround him. He punches a few of them out.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, it's like an overhead shot.
It becomes
it's like the Matrix sequel.
Yeah.
The Smiths.
Like one guy fighting a bunch of people.
Yeah, but they eventually overpower him. And then, if you're watching the version we did, it dissolves to, like, the final scene.
It's so weird. It dissolves to them marching like, him to the Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man. But what you're missing in that dissolve, because while the dissolve is happening, you hear voiceover of, like, hold him down. And then
my
legs.
It sounds like that fucking fish from SpongeBob that's always screaming about, my leg.
I don't remember that one.
People will know.
Okay. But yeah, he's like, my legs. And then, yeah. And he's like, I don't believe in your religion. All this shit.
This
voiceover
while we're watching shots of
them, like,
Willow
marching.
Or whoever
it's
marching.
It's like long shots of them marching up a hill.
Yeah.
And we found the scene that was deleted, and it's all the voiceovers were taken from that. But also, he doesn't scream my legs in the actual scene. So
yeah.
He must have recorded that later
the
for
ADR,
the use of this.
So that you kind of assume his leg, but like you
and maybe
don't
it wasn't
need
even Nick
know.
Cage. Yeah, you don't. Yeah, maybe it was Brock Baker.
It could have been Brock. We have true story. This is the thing, which I find super fascinating, especially now that I've met someone who does it professionally. Oftentimes when you have something like that where you need Nicolas Cage screaming, my leg, for one thing.
Yeah, especially if it's like oh, we have to have a censored release for like airing on TV.
Yes.
Maybe it's like a year later and Nick Cage is not, you can't afford
you're
Nick
not,
Cage.
Yeah,
for
you're
a
not
going
to pay
line.
Nick Cage and he doesn't have the time. Like it's hard to get the actual star to come in and record it. So what they often do is they get soundalikes.
Yeah, people who like can do voice
their
impersonations.
Voices.
And our buddy,
our Brock
Baker,
who's
great. Look him up. He does
amazing
shit on YouTube.
But he has done professional, like in things you've seen.
I don't think we can say.
Oh, can we not
say? I don't think we can say what movies or who he's done it for,
oh,
maybe.
Shit. Okay.
But he has done it.
Okay.
And it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess if you want, go to his channel and look at
the people he's best
celebrities
at.
He can do impressions
he's,
of and
which
maybe
are multitudes
but,
he's so good
so yeah you've seen things where he maybe has done like if you're watching a TV safe version of something it could be Brock
yeah so I'm assuming that was someone doing their Nick Cage of my legs
yeah
but who the fuck knows dude you're right we don't need to know that his legs are broken in the removed scene by the way it is brutal
it is
they break both of his legs with a mallet and it's like pretty intense. So that part I get them removing, but then why remove the bees? You can just cut out the leg breaking and cut to the bees.
Genuinely wonder if it was a director choice or if they were like so embarrassed by that scene
because
it's such a meme.
It's a meme and like the CG bees look bad. And because they put this helmet on Nick Cage and they pour in a bunch of bees. If you've never seen it, everyone probably has by now, but there's CG bees flying around and it's Nick Cage acting in reaction to bees that aren't there.
Yeah.
Screaming like, not the bees,
yeah, we'll,
not the bees, they're in my mouth.
We'll put the clip in. Everyone's seen it. We'll put it in.
It's so bad.
What is that? What is that? What is it? Oh, no, not the bees. Not the bees. Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! My eyes! Ah! Ah!
But then, yes, that's what you miss in the version we watched. And we get to that final scene where they hoist him up this...
Oh, don't forget him yelling, you bitches, at everyone. Killing me won't bring back your goddamn honey.
But I know it will, Ellen Burstyn says.
Yeah.
They hoist him by his broken legs up through the big wicker man, like the big burning man.
Mm-hmm. So he's hanging upside down,
mm-hmm.
and he gets burnt in the Wicker Man. By the way, this is when we hadn't figured out yet that we were watching an edited version, so we're like
where's the
where,
bees?
Where are they gonna put the bees on his head?
Where's the bees?
He's hanging upside down, he's on fire. Are they gonna change their minds and put the cage on his head? What?
Very confusing.
We were panicking, like, is that not from this movie?
Yeah.
What movie could it be from?
Rowan sets the thing on fire and he tries to like plead with her, Rowan, don't, but she's too gung ho. She lights it on fire and then he burns.
Yeah, he burns.
The whole thing goes.
Cut to 6 months later. Apparently this ending is not in the unrated version.
It just ends with him burning?
Yeah. And that it has the bees stuff.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
So that's a better version. But the version
you don't want this coda with James Franco and Jason Ritter?
No, it's the dumbest.
James
Shit.
Franco's in this movie. James Franco and Jason Ritter are these two off-duty cops at a bar,
like
looking to pick up chicks. James Franco's there. James Franco's so handsome. How can you not think he is?
I think he's gross.
He has the sweetest smile, his crinkly eyes smile, and he's like, "Am I supposed to be smiling?"
He looks like he smells.
I think he's handsome.
Mm-mm. I think we disagree there.
What about Jason Ritter? His facial hair is not working for him in this movie.
Oh no, I think that's like clouding my judgment. I'd have what else is he in?
He's in Freddy versus Jason, which you haven't seen yet. Fuck.
I know. That's like the one Freddy movie I haven't seen.
He's in like TV shows or some shit. I don't know.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. They pick up chicks.
So all of a sudden we're in a different movie for a little bit. It's James Franco and Jason Ritter talking about how there's no chicks at this bar yet, and you're like, what the fuck?
We are so glad to see you guys here. We thought it was like lawyer night or something.
Yeah. It's like hardly any normal people here.
Yeah.
Like, what am I watching all of a sudden? It's so weird.
And then Willow and Sister Honey show up, and the boys sit down, and they flirt with them, and then Honey's like, take me home with you, James Franco.
Yeah,
and he's like, okay, I will. And I'm like, dude, there's something up if a girl's like that right away after a minute of conversation, but whatever.
So
it's implied he'll be the next Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Maybe just one of those backup Nick Cages under my working theory.
Yeah.
We have a bunch lined up. That's it. That's the fucking movie.
So yeah, let me just. Okay.
Yep.
1973 Wicker Man. The ending of that movie is so disturbing. You have him inside the Wicker Man screaming Christian hymns while they're all singing like a pagan song.
Lord's my shepherd, I'm not one. He is the boy.
The last scene of the remake is...
Hey guys from around here?
From out in the valley, actually.
Nice.
What the fuck?
Oh, man. This movie's awful.
It's trash.
If you want to watch it, get a group of friends. Get a bunch of beer.
You can't just watch it by yourself.
Don't just watch this
movie
by
yourself.
Or honestly,
watch all of the funny parts edited together on YouTube. I think that's acceptable.
That's fine. Because, like I said, there's little to no redeeming qualities of this movie in a sincere way. In a, like, we tried to do this. It worked. Great.
Yeah.
A few of the performances are fine, but not any of the ones that are on screen a bunch of times.
I know a lot of the people involved with the original were like, don't associate us with
this.
Yeah,
they didn't want their names on this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it sounds like it's a fucking abomination compared to, especially, like, you know, another movie that came out the same year as the original, 1973, was Westworld. And that is somewhat remade now as a TV show. We have our qualms with the TV show.
Yeah.
But we watched that
original
movie.
That original movie sucks.
That movie fucking sucked. For all its flaws, the TV show, 1,000 times better. It's not even on the same plane.
And it takes the same concept and does something, you know, unique with it.
Yeah. Compared to this, because, like, that's kind of what I expected when I heard, like, the year, and I don't know, they both start with W. Maybe that affected my... Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man.
Another forgettable movie.
A real
movie. Yeah, a Wicker Man sounds like
Westworld.
It's a great movie.
Sucks.
Westworld sucked.
It sucks. And
the
you
movie.
Think, you look at the runtime, and it's, what, like, 80-something minutes, the original Westworld? Oh my god, my voice. But you think, like, this will be a nice, breezy film. It feels so long.
That's
it's got Yul Brynner, though, which is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Basically playing the Man in Black.
That's Wicker Man 2006.
Wicker Man. We did this for you.
We did it for you. I hope you liked
we
it.
We did this after, because I thought, all right, we had a really substantial educational week last week, and I thought, let's do something trashy. Boy.
You thought about Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I did, but then I thought... I think people would be excited to see us review Wicker Man.
Let us know. Let us know what you like. If you like this, if what other movies you would like us to review.
Yeah.
And we'll do them.
I have a really fun idea for next week.
Oh, yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. It's a surprise.
It'll they'll find out. Yeah. Next Tuesday we'll have another episode of this up.
Yep.
Friday is a brand new Kill Count franchise. Get ready for that. It's a secret. I'm looking at a prop for it right now, but you can't see it. It's off screen, or you're just listening to this podcast. Either way, you can't see it. Ha! Fucking idiots. Make sure you're subscribed to the Dead Meat YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. You can find Dead Meat on social media at Dead Meat James on Twitter and Instagram.
You can find me at Carebeck, CAREBECC on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want merch, deadmeatstore.com.
Yep, and feel free to email us at deadmeatpod@gmail.com. And make sure you rate and review us on whatever podcast app you're listening to us through, especially iTunes. We love it. I think we have a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Yes.
I think we're pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah.
So keep leaving them reviews, please.
Yep.
Until the next podcast episode, I'm James.
I'm Chelsea.
And this has been the Dead Meat Podcast.